Welcome to the Everything Is Earned podcast. We are Everything Cleveland, and my name is Mike, and we're ready to break things down for you here on the Everything Is Earned podcast. Tim is not going to be with me here on this particular episode, but no worries. I'm going to keep you guys filled in and locked in as to what's going on in your Cleveland sports world. And we're going to start right now with these Browns. I know we talked a little bit on Monday and about what was frustrating about coming off the bye week and losing to the Patriots. We do have a few things to talk about here about that loss with the Patriots. One of the things I really want to discuss here is the amount of penalties the Browns had against the Patriots. It's absolutely ridiculous that you come off of a bye week and still end up with 13 penalties for 85 yards. Cleveland leads the league in penalized yardage and total penalties. They have 70 total penalties. That's absolutely ridiculous. And seven of those teams haven't even played yet. I haven't even had their bye week yet, rather. And it's just ridiculous that you're getting that many penalties coming off a bye week. Also, there was three turnovers that we talked about. And I know everyone got all hot and bothered about the comments that Jarvis Landry made and misquoted them and took it out of context. But Jarvis Landry's comments did not lead to you giving up those turnovers or those 13 different penalties. That's all shooting yourself in the own foot. And it's just absolutely ridiculous that you come out here and do that after coming off a bye week. When you come off a bye week, you need to be disciplined. You need to be set your game plan, and you should never have that many penalties off of a bye week. That's absolutely crazy. So one of the things we're getting into here is, at what point do you think about Freddie being a long-term answer or not? I know, he had a big season last year with Baker. They had this chemistry. They had these great numbers. He called the plays. Everything was going smooth, and we just loved life. And Freddie was the answer to all our prayers, as well as Baker. But has Freddie really put the team and Baker in the best position to win this year? Has he given them the opportunity to be successful? Or is it something that is just too much for Freddie to handle? Remember, he's a first-year head coach here, and you're going to have to deal with these growing pains going forward, or you're going to have to understand that you're going to need some experience in here in the coaching staff. One of the things we mentioned a couple weeks back was that the Browns have 27 coaches on their assistant coaching staff. That's a lot of coaches, and I don't know how much of those coaches Freddie's leaning on, but right now it feels like the job is just too big for Freddie, and he hasn't quite figured out how to get the hold on this team and make him perform when Sundays come around. Now, this roster is stacked, and we definitely understand that, and I love all the talent that John Dorsey has brought in. And we praise move after move after move when it comes to what John Dorsey has done. But remember, John Dorsey is also responsible for the hiring of the head coach. I mean, the Haslam signed off on it, but Dorsey is responsible for this hire. Now, when you think about successful head coaches, you got to understand there's more than just play calling to it. There's head coaches that do call the plays, like Sean Payton. But Freddie Kitchens is definitely not Sean Payton. Not yet, but he's definitely not Sean Payton. So one of the things that I really think about Freddie is, what style of coaching does he have? A lot of players say they like him. There hasn't been any internal discord or any kind of nonsense going on where there's been leaks about the team not being behind him. But is that approach, kind of the buddy-buddy approach that we see, that we get the outside appearance on, is that really the best thing for this football team? Has that really translated into quality football play? And this far in the season, I think the answer is no. You have to look at, what the Browns have done in the field, and being the most penalized team, regardless of how much you like your head coach, is not great. I'd rather have my players, have some fear of my head coach and not have all these penalties, or have some dislike towards the head coach and be a much more disciplined football team and execute much higher. When you win football games and when you execute, whether they like a coach or not, you're gonna feel a lot better about yourselves, and you're gonna feel a lot better about yourselves on Monday. You know, and look at the Patriots. There's been all kinds of stories written about, you know, how Belichick does things and his coaching style. But at the end of the day, the players who are there and stay there are the ones that win Super Bowls. And I really like that culture and that idea that, you know, there's no nonsense happening. I mean, look at Jamie Collins. We shipped off Jamie Collins. Or we didn't even ship him off. We released him. We said, we're done with you. We don't even want to see you around here because the effort you're putting in is not up to par. And then he goes and gets picked up by the Patriots, and he's having a ridiculous season. I mean, the guy looked like he had no interest in playing football last year, and this year he's everywhere, and he's making plays all over the field, and he looks like a quality, if not a superstar, of a linebacker, and the Browns had him on the roster last year. But the Patriots, you know, punished him, released him, or traded him, the Browns rather, and he got his dose of what it was like to be on a bad team, and he signed right back up with the Patriots. And that says something about their culture and about the focus on winning there. You know, if I'm a player, I understand I already made my money and, you know, I'm making my money, but I want to win games. That's what I'm going out there to do. And when you win games, everybody looks better. It's better for your brand. It's better for your overall, you know, legacy. And these are all things that players take into consideration when signing up for a team. I mean, look at Odell Beckham on Sunday. He was absolutely drooling over Tom Brady and even said he had always dreamed about playing with the Patriots, and that put him in trade rumors. So when I think about it, you know, we talk about the Cleveland culture, we talk about the Browns changing the culture, but has it really ever changed yet? We, you know, we have much better talent here. We have a quarterback we believe in the long term. But has the culture changed, or has it had to just shifted to a different reality that is not what promotes winning? If it's a buddy-buddy, you know, everybody-love-everybody culture, but we don't win football games, is that really the right culture you want? Or is that just a replacement for the previous Browns cultures that haven't worked out? I don't know. It's worth thinking about, because what the Browns are doing right now is definitely not going to get us into the playoffs. But there's hope. There's hope going forward. All is not lost. We actually have a couple interesting things here to bring up as far as the schedule goes. So right now, the Browns being 2-5, it's upsetting. It's disheartening. But let's look at the schedule. So over the next five games, the Browns will play the Broncos, the Bills, the Steelers, the Dolphins, and the Steelers again. If I'm looking at that schedule, I'm going win, maybe a loss to the Bills, win against the Steelers, win against the Dolphins, win against the Steelers. On the flip side, if we look at the Patriots, the Ravens schedule, they play the Patriots, the Bengals, the Texans, the Ravens, and the Niners. So if I'm looking at the Patriots schedule, I'm going to go, that's a loss to the Patriots, that's a win against the Bengals, that's a loss against the Texans, that's a loss against the Rams, that's a loss against the Niners. So the Browns could very well be, 5 weeks from now, tied, top of the division, 6-6 with the Ravens. It's a real possibility. It's not even a real possibility. It could absolutely happen. Look at those opponents that the Ravens are playing. They're playing tough opponents. We just played the Patriots. We played the Rams. We played the Niners. Those teams are not a joke. And the Ravens, you know, they're still finding their footing. They're still getting things going here. And it'll be interesting to see how they perform against the Patriots. But don't look now, but you could definitely be, you know, 5 weeks from now looking at a tie for first place. As bad as the season has gone, if you can win 4 out of the next 5 games, you're going to put yourself in a position to compete for a playoff spot. And that's what it is. It's a long season. The back half of the schedule is really nice for the Browns. And we got to go out and perform. And these teams that they're playing going forward will allow the Browns to get some rhythm and get, you know, get some things figured out. And we better absolutely destroy, you know, these teams. I mean, Denver won't even have their starting quarterback in Joe Flacco. Not that Joe Flacco is a big worry or anything. You know, he has some championship pedigree. I don't know, maybe not, but he definitely has. He has a Super Bowl, and you know. We're going to play Brandon Allen. And you go, Mike, who's Brandon Allen? I don't know who Brandon Allen is either. he's an absolute nobody, and I'm not even worried about him. So the Browns should give up no points on Sunday versus the Denver Broncos, and we should absolutely get that win. And if we don't, then come Monday morning, Freddie won't be here. But looking at the schedule, after all we've been through, after all the hype and where the Browns are, there's reason for hope. There's reason for optimism. So, buckle up your bootstraps. Get your brown and orange out, because the season ain't over yet. And we're not going anywhere quite yet. So don't take the surround season as being done for. Pack up the bags. Playoffs are out of the way. We can definitely still win some games here. And the schedule is going to give us that opportunity. The Browns just have to make the most of it now. So switching gears a little bit, I want to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they have been actually very surprising so far. They did lose to the Bucks on Monday night, but there were some very nice bright spots in that Bucks game. Now, it was 129 to 112. Giannis had an okay game, but the Cavs just couldn't get stops when they needed them. The Bucks hit a lot of shots. They got a lot of their role players performing. Their bench outscored us. And the Cavs just didn't have enough talent at the end of the day, and are still learning how to play with each other. One of the big bright spots, though, is Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson, when he guarded Giannis, was awesome. He actually held Giannis to 5 points on 2 of 7 shooting, so that's really, really impressive. Every time that Giannis drove at Tristan, Tristan was bodying him up with him. He held his ground, and he played just really excellent defense. It was great to see that he took the challenge of playing Giannis, and the game plan to slow down Giannis was actually really good. They were going to let anyone else beat them but Giannis, and they ended up doing that. They had a lot of role players. They had what's his face? They had Wes Matthews, and they had Connington. They had Pat Connington that ended up scoring quite a few points in the Cavs, but it wasn't Giannis. Giannis didn't look like much like the MVP that night. And he made some great plays and some timely buckets, but it wasn't the dominant performance that you're used to seeing Giannis have. And that's really encouraging for the Cavs, because again, that points at the coaching that John Beilein's done, and that points at the Cavs' ability to fight in games, to continue to play together, and to share the ball. And there was times in the game where you were only down by 5 or 6. And you just couldn't get a stop when you needed one. And it was a really good contest. I actually really enjoyed watching the Cavs the other night. The offense looked really good at times. Other times it looked a little bit rough. And we're still trying to figure out how to play Sexton and Garland and Dellavedova and where they all fit in lineups. And Garland, to be very honest, had a really kind of a rough night. He had some unnecessary turnovers. He had some nice moments on offense. But he looked like a rookie against the Bucks. He looked like he's still figuring himself out. But the one takeaway I did have from that game is I wanted to see Garland be more aggressive on offense. He is ultra talented in terms of his ability to get to the rack and to distribute. And I'd love to see him take that more shots and more opportunities with the ball in his hands to create. Because when he drives the basket, great things happen for this Cavs offense. And I'd love to continue to see him. So looking forward here for the Cavs, we do have Chicago Bulls on the schedule here on Wednesday, and then we have the Pacers again, I believe, on Friday, and then the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday. So a couple good contests coming up again. I think you can definitely take the Pacers. That'll be interesting to see, because it'll be the second game they played, and we'll know each other at that point, because we had played the first time a couple days back. And then the Dallas Mavericks will definitely be a tough contest, because you have Luka, who is always, always tough. And then you have Kristaps Porzingis, who's just playing out of his mind recently and looks super healthy. And it looks like the pairing of him and Luka are going to be a really tough combination. So the Dallas Mavericks are an interesting team to look at, because they're almost a blueprint the Cavs could follow in terms of having a quality coach, having players you want to build around, and then making a move to trading away some talent to get a good player like Kristaps Porzingis. So interesting to watch the Dallas Mavericks, because they can definitely be what the Cavs could be in a couple years here. And the Cavs definitely believe they have some core talent that they can move forward with And I really am interested to see how this Cavs-Mavs game goes, because there's some similarities in the two franchises, and there's definitely some things that we can look at and say, okay, this is what, you know, the Cavs could be in a year or two. And Dallas is interesting too as well, because they did win that championship back in 2010, 2011, I believe the season was, or no, 11 and 12, when LeBron was in his first year in Miami, and Dirk had that huge season. So, you know, their season's removed from a championship as well. And the Cavs are obviously facing that post-LeBron era. So at this point, you know, it's about building some talent here internally, and then looking for that big free agent signing or that big trade that's going to help get you into the playoffs and get you going. So definitely interesting to see what the Dallas Mavericks do here going forward, because they're a franchise that I definitely see some similarities with the Cavs. You know, being that their owner is also a outspoken type of guy like Mark Cuban. Similar styles, just a lot of similarities between the two franchises. And, you know, there's a lot of things to be excited about with this Cavs organization and what they have going forward. So we'll keep an eye locked on, but I love the coaching I'm seeing so far out of John Beilein. I love the Cavs' buy-in as far as his offense and defensive game plans have been. So really excited for the Chicago game tonight. I'll be at that game, and I can't wait to report to see how things look in person and what observations we'll get from how Colin Sexton and Darius Garland and Kevin Love are all meshing together. Another interesting point here with the Cavs is we actually re-signed Garland last night. We picked up his third-year option. It was worth $4.99 million, which is absolutely a no-brainer, because that means you have him through next season, and then you have an opportunity to make a choice on him. What are you going to do with him, whether you're extending him or you're going to be using him as a trade chip? Kind of a no-brainer to pick up his option. The deadline was approaching to pick up that option, and for $4.99 million, it's really quite a steal for Sexton, and like I said, an absolute no-brainer. And you know, going forward, I'd like to see the Cavs figure out at some point this season whether or not he fits into their long-term plans. And you know, obviously, I want to see the best for the kid. I want to see the Cavs be the best they can as a franchise. So we'll find out here, you know, probably in the next, you know, 79 games, whether or not he fits with this organization. And it's up to Kobe Altman to make that evaluation, and for John Beilein to work together with Kobe to find out what's going to work in his system and whether Sexton will be part of the system going forward. But to pick up his option for $4.99 million, absolute no-brainer. Great move by the Cavs. Let's look to build some more talent here going forward. Last little Cavs note here is that John Henson, guy we got from the Bucks trade last year that brought Dellavedova here and sent George Hill over to the Milwaukee Bucks, is out for a couple weeks here. He has strained his hamstring and won't be playing for a few weeks here. He's coming off that broken hand, and he looked pretty solid the other night when he played against the Pacers. But obviously, he's still kind of getting in shape, and you know, the strained hamstring is, you know, it makes a lot of sense that would happen. Coming off an injury that you're not quite in shape yet, or you know, you're not quite able to push your body to the limits you wanted to. So we'll keep an eye on him, and we'll see what he brings to the table here, because I think he could be a piece for the Cavs going forward. But he's off absolutely also a trade bait, because his deal is expiring, and he's at you know, he's got a chunk of cash that the Cavs could use to take on some bad cap money and get some more assets. So that's going to wrap things up here for our quick little Wednesday episode of the Everything Is Earned podcast. I hope you guys had some things in here that we could discuss and we could break down. And I'm excited for the Cavs going forward. I'm keeping the faith with the Browns. I'm not ready to throw this towel in yet. And I think that, you know, both Cleveland franchises here with the Browns and the Cavs, you know, have some bright futures ahead. We just have to continue our development and continue to stay locked in. On the other end, the Indians, you know, not a whole lot of news going on right now, but we'll keep you updated when something does break on them as well. So, again, thank you guys so much for joining. Please give us all the feedback that you can on these episodes. We'd love to hear from you guys and what you want to talk about. We're going to do an Ask Us segment on our social media. So if you have questions or things you want us to discuss or dig into, we'll definitely make sure we get those in our episodes here. But my name is Mike, And remember, here in Cleveland, everything is earned.